Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope and pray that you're all doing well. Well, as for me, I'm excited about our series on Romans, and we're winding down. We're winding this series down. We're winding the year down. This is series number 52, 52 weeks in a year, 52 delivered series. We're looking at Romans 16:20, and it reads, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Today we're looking, we're considering, we're focusing on the phrase, "shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Heavenly Father, again, we come to you on this beautiful day. We turn to you for enlightenment, understanding, wisdom, knowledge on things unseen, on Satan, on how he comes against your people. We pray, Lord, for your divine wisdom. We seek divine intel on the enemy of our souls. Bless us, O God. You are the God of peace. We are at peace with our Father, but at war with Satan. Father, help us, remind us to put on your armor daily, that we may, after having done all, after having battled fiercely, to stand. Bless us, O God, we pray. Bless Grace Church. Bless every member of Grace Church, from the oldest to the youngest. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Well, yesterday we looked at the phrase, "and the God of peace," the God of peace. That's our God, the God of peace. Our Savior is called the Prince of Peace. And Jesus has given us his peace, his serenity. Peace is tranquility of heart and mind. Nothing bothers us. Nothing startles us. Nothing puts fear in our hearts. Why? Well, because he's the God of peace. God said, my peace be with you always. We have nothing to fear. God's in complete control. When I sleep, when you sleep, he who keeps us does not slumber nor sleep. God never sleeps on the job. God is ever alert when it comes to you and I. We have peace. God knows what's coming in January of 2023 and what's coming in May and what's coming in October of 2023. God already knows what's coming in 2024 and 25 because he knows all that, because he's all-knowing, and not just all-knowing but all-powerful. I have peace. I have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. The church has nothing to fear. Now, the unsaved, they're full of fear. They're full of fear because they're not members of the family of God. They fear the coming of Jesus. They fear what Jesus will do to them when he returns, but not you and I. We, along with the Holy Spirit, say, come, Lord Jesus. Come soon, Lord Jesus. We embrace your coming. Why? Because we're at peace with God. We've been reconciled to God. And so Paul goes on to say, and the God of peace, the God who's at peace with you and you with him, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Shall bruise Satan. Well, he's the God of peace when it comes to his family, to his children. But he's at war with the devil. We're at war with the devil. Notice it says, and the God of peace shall bruise. Who does the bruising? Well, God does the bruising. But who does God use to bruise Satan? Well, us, because it's under our feet, which means that God, our Father, and we, his children, are at war with the enemy of our souls. He shall bruise. Not only did Jesus bruise Satan at the cross, but the church bruises Satan also. We, the church, yes, that's right. We, the people of God, also get to bruise Satan. And I'll explain this. I'll develop this as we go along. But the word here, bruise, in the Greek means to break, to crush, to weaken. Now, obviously, the picture, the imagery here is of Genesis 3:15, where Jesus, the seed of the woman, crushes, steps on the head of the seed of the serpent. Now, if you step on the serpent's head, if you're out in the woods and you happen to be walking along and you happen to step on a serpent, not because you wanted to, but because you just did. The serpent was camouflaged and you didn't see it, and you just had you just put your foot where you thought there was nothing there, but here it is. You happen to step on a serpent's head. Well, if you step on a serpent's head, if you bruise it, if you crush it, the serpent dies. Now, this serpent that we are bruising doesn't die. He doesn't die. See, when we bruise Satan, he doesn't die. Because if that were the case, the Church of Rome would have already bruised him and killed him, and we would have nothing to fear today because they would have done it 2,000 years ago. So this is a supernatural serpent. This is a supernatural entity, an angelic being of great power. So the bruising is a thrashing. It's a beating. It doesn't destroy him. It doesn't kill him. It's just a thumping. And God says that he shall bruise. He will give Satan a thumping by using us. He's our adversary. No, notice. The word, the person that we are thumping, the person that we are bruising, the person we're giving a beating to, the person we're giving a trashing to is Satan. Satan, 34 times in the New Testament, Satan. the adversary. The adversary. Notice, this is war. You know, America has peace treaties with certain countries, but is at war with other nations. We, technically speaking, we have war. It's called the Cold War. We have a Cold War going on right now with Russia. We have a Cold War going on with whom? With Venezuela. Cold War going on with China. We have a Cold War going on with Iran. Iran, Russia, China, Venezuela. Those are the what they call the BRICS nations. We're at war. We're at war with North Korea. Cold War. But we're still at war. They are our adversaries. They have a political system that is different from our political system. And so we have adversaries in the natural world, and we also have adversaries in the spiritual world. Satan is our adversary. He's our Satan. That's what the word Satan means, adversary. He's opposed to us. He's opposed to the church. He hates the church. He can't stand the church. He wants to annihilate the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Satan is antagonistic against the church. This is why Peter says to us Christians, in his first epistle, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your Satan, your adversary, who goes by the name the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's the enemy of our souls. Perpetual animosity towards the people of God. This dogged hatred for the people of God. He just hates us. We're just a hated, group of people. Hated by Satan. Targeted by Satan. Hunted by Satan. Satan spies us out to see where are the weak ones so that he may destroy them. He looks for those who are not sober, for those who are not vigilant, for those who are happy-go-lucky and are not spiritually aware of their surroundings. So that what? So that as a roaring lion, he may devour them, destroy them, bring them to non-existence. So Paul says to the Roman church, and the God of peace shall. This is going to happen. He shall bruise. He will break and crush and give Satan a thrashing, a beating. He will do it. Under your feet shortly. Consider how humiliating this is. Satan being beat up by us? Yes, that's humiliating. It's one thing, listen, saints, it's one thing for God to beat up on Satan. That's one thing. Satan has no chance against God. But for us to beat up on Satan, that's humiliating. That's doubly humiliating. Why? Because Satan is far stronger than we are. But we get to do what? We get to bruise him under our feet. And how does that take place? Well, it takes place because we are obedient to what Paul says. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them, keep an eye on them, who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. You see, if we follow Paul's admonition, if we follow Paul's advice, we bring to naught Satan's plan. We crush his scheme. It's like putting our foot on his master plan. We crush it. We break it. We weaken him if we do exactly as God tells us to do. Satan's been on the losing end of a great many. Let me take you to Revelation. I've shared this with you in the past. In Revelation chapter 12, Satan is undergoing a string of defeats. Satan has been on an never-ending losing streak. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, Satan doesn't win one. He is the perpetual loser. The perpetual loser. He loses to God, and he loses to God's people, and he loses to God's angels. Take, for example, in Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 1 all the way down to verse 6. Who does Satan lose to? He loses to the Christ child. Remember, in visionary imagery, the Apostle John sees a woman travailing in birth. This woman is the nation of Israel, and she's about to give birth to Messiah. When John sees the woman, soon after he sees a great red dragon who shows up to do what? To oppose the woman and to devour her child as soon as it is born. This is the great Satan who shows up to devour the Christ child, the babe born in a manger. But you see, he is what? He is crushed. His plan is crushed. His plan is defeated. Why? Because God saves the Christ child. Then from Revelation 7 all the way down to Revelation 12, Satan experiences another bruising. This bruising is not at the hand of the Christ child, but at the hand of Michael the archangel and the angels of heaven. And there's a great battle that goes on. There's war in heaven. And Michael and his angels war against the devil and his angels. And the devil and his angels are soundly defeated and cast down to the earth, never permitted to go up to heaven again. You see, this is Satan's second loss in the chapter. And then we read of his third loss in Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. And there I want to read. Notice, Revelation 12, 13, it says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." Who is he persecuting? The church. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a times from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth as it was water, as flood, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the tsunami. Earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed the flood which the dragon had cast out of his mouth." Notice, Satan wants to destroy the church by sending a flood of heresy, a flood of false doctrine. And what happens? The woman is preserved. How is she preserved, you say? How? Well, notice that God puts distance between the woman. He gives her two wings of an eagle that she might fly away. So here's the serpent. He's standing before the woman. He wants to unleash this flood of heresy. And before he knows it, the woman is given two wings, and with the two wings of an eagle, she's able to fly away, and thus Satan's flood plan is what? Is destroyed. It comes to naught. Notice, it was the avoiding. It was God giving distance between the woman and the serpent that prevented her from being carried away by false doctrine. You see, this is what Paul says. He says, avoid them. Avoid Satan's emissaries. Avoid Satan's false apostles and false teachers. Avoid those whom Satan will send your way. If you create distance between you and them, it will be like the woman who was given the two wings of an eagle, and she was able to fly away, and the serpent's flood could not reach her. When we obey the Lord's admonitions, when we obey the Lord's instructions, when we obey God and we don't second guess him and we don't try to come up with our own plan, When our obedience becomes renowned, like the Church of Rome, whose obedience was world-renowned for obeying God's commandments, then we shall bruise Satan under our feet. And it says, shortly. This will happen soon. The sooner you apply the instructions, the sooner you apply the advice, the moment you put people on the walls as watchmen to mark those who cause division. See, we have to be on the alert. We have to be like what Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. He's coming. The Bible tells us Satan is coming and his emissaries are coming. So we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to have watchmen on the wall. We need to have people who can discern and tell a wolf from a sheep, who can distinguish between a minister of God and a false teacher. The moment we create distance, it is as if Satan's head has been bruised. Satan plans, he schemes, but then when we apply God's principles, it is as though we are crushing his head and we bring his plan to naught. So, my brothers and sisters, let us obey the Lord, who promises us to dispatch of Satan quickly. Soon it would happen. It will happen soon. Shortly. Quickly. Satan shall be dispatched. Well, we're going to leave it there. I'll be back tomorrow to continue with this series, part 3. Don't forget tonight at 6:55 p.m. Tune in 5 minutes before the prayer meeting starts. We have a wonderful prayer meeting tonight. It is the last prayer meeting of the year, and you don't want to miss it. May God keep you and bless you. May the Lord's peace reign in your hearts. Amen.